to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Christmas Day 2022 by the Reverend Eric Williams.
So we often read this gospel, the prologue, the beginning of the Gospel of John, on Christmas Day. In the tradition of Anglo-Catholicism, some of the High Church Episcopalians would read this passage every Sunday at the end of the service. That's how important they thought it was. And it's a beautiful passage because it takes us all the way back to the beginning, to the book of Genesis. In the beginning. That's how John starts the gospel, just like the beginning of the book of Genesis. Because for John, in his gospel, the world was created by God through the Word, through the Christ, through Jesus. You might say that God spoke the world into being. I prefer a different account, though. I don't know. Raise your hand. Did you ever read The Chronicles of Narnia by C.S. Lewis? Anybody ever read those books? I highly recommend them. They're a little dated now. They feel a little old-fashioned, but they were the books that gave my childhood a way to have faith. When I was a kid, those were the books that really spoke to me. And in these books, the figure of Jesus is the lion Aslan. I don't know if you saw those movies, but this lion is a figure of Christ. And in one of the books, The Magician's Nephew, it's Aslan who is creating Narnia. And he doesn't do it by speaking. He does it by singing. Here's how it goes. In the darkness, something was happening at last. A voice had begun to sing. It was very far away, and Diggory, the main character, found it hard to decide from what direction it was coming. Sometimes it seemed to come from all directions at once. Sometimes he almost thought it was coming out of the earth beneath them. Its lower notes were deep enough to be the voice of the earth herself. There were no words. There was hardly even a tune. But it was, beyond comparison, the most beautiful noise he had ever heard. It was so beautiful he could hardly bear it. Then two wonders happened at the same moment. One was that the voice was suddenly joined by other voices, more voices than you could possibly count. They were in harmony with it, but far higher up the scale, cold, tingly, silvery voices. The second wonder was that the blackness overhead all at once was blazing with stars. They didn't come out gently, one by one, as on a summer evening. One moment there had been nothing but darkness. Next moment, 1,000,000 points of light leaped out. If you had seen and heard it as Diggory did, you would have felt quite certain that it was the first voice, the deep one, which had made them appear and made them sing. I think the prophet Isaiah would have liked that depiction by C.S. Lewis. Listen to his description of what will happen when God brings about the new creation. Listen, he says, your sentinels lift up their voices. Together they sing for joy. For in plain sight they see the return of the Lord to Zion. Break forth into singing, you ruins of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. Or in the psalm we just read, the whole creation joins in this heavenly song. Let the sea make a noise and all that is in it. The lands and those who dwell therein. Let the rivers clap their hands, and let the hills ring out with joy before the Lord when he comes to judge the earth. Isn't that a beautiful poetic image of the whole creation singing with joy to God the Creator? One of my favorite hymns is an old gospel hymn, How Can I Keep from Singing? My life goes on in endless song, above earth's lamentations. I hear the real, though far off, hymn that hails a new creation. Through all the tumult and the strife, I hear its music ringing. It sounds an echo in my soul, how can I keep from singing? It's no accident, I think, that Christmas, of all of our holidays, is the one most full of music. Whether you like King's College Choir from Cambridge, or Mariah Carey, or both, this season, more than any other, has a soundtrack. My car has just been full of Christmas music for the last couple of weeks, and I'll continue on through Epiphany on January 6th. Just this morning, I was listening to Handel's Messiah on my way to church, and there are certain passages of Scripture that I cannot read without hearing Handel's Messiah. That music just is in them for me forever. And the cool thing for me is that when we think back to Genesis and to John's gospel, when we think back to God's creation, of God singing the world into existence, it's really amazing to think that that song, which began billions of years ago in the great cymbal clash of the Big Bang, has continued throughout all the history of God's people. Miriam, Moses' sister, sang it on the shores of the Red Sea. Isaiah sang it to the people of Israel during their time of exile. The angels sang it on the night of Jesus' birth. And we continue to sing it in our carols and hymns and songs of praise. We sing it with banjos and trumpets and electric guitars and pipe organs. We sing it a cappella. And we sing it sometimes without even using our voices, by the way we live our lives, by having courage and hope and faith when times seem dark and troubled. We sing it when we respond to the world's darkness with light, with love, and with faith. William Shakespeare said it this way: "The person that has no music in themselves, nor is moved with concord of sweet sounds, is only fit for treasons, stratagems, and spoils. The motions of his spirit are dull as night, and his affections dark as Erebus. Let no such man be trusted. Mark the music." Today, this Christmas, let's mark the music. Let's listen in the silence and stillness of this service to hear the echoes of God's song of creation, of redemption, of liberation, and of life. Let's hear that song and respond to it by living lives that are an echo and a chorus of God's song of love. Amen.